Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
We thank you for joining us for Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this 31st Sunday in Ordinary Time, the first weekend in November. A beautiful morning. Good morning, Bishop. How are you?
Very well, and greetings to everyone who's listening to us today and throughout the listening area. So we're very pleased to have you this morning.
Absolutely. Whether they're listening over the air or on the podcast, either way, we thank you for being part of the ever-growing family of listeners. This is Our Shepherd's View. Our gospel this morning is from St. Mark, so Bishop, if you would now proclaim that for us.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" Jesus replied, "The first is this, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." The scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher. You are right in saying he is one, and there is no other than he. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that, he answered with understanding. He said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared ask him any more questions. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. As we take a look at this gospel this morning, we see the scribes coming to Jesus, and they ask him, which is the greatest of the commandments? And when the voice of the Lord speaks to them, the light bulb goes off, if you will.
Right. I think the couple of things that in response to that, it's because it's the truth. I think, you know, when the truth hits us, we have nothing else to ask. We're encapsulated in this truth. And also it's wisdom. I mean, Jesus came to bring us the wisdom of God and the wisdom that is already found in the Jewish scriptures that he himself knew and could repeat, obviously, by heart. The thing I want to point out today, this is called in Jewish tradition the Shema Israel. It is at the heart of Jewish prayer. It's something that is prayed, a prayer that is prayed in the morning and evening. It's to be the first thing in the morning and the last thing at night, which really emphasizes again the importance of this almost a profession of faith of who is God. I think for us in the context of our world and church that we're passing through now, we need to go back to these basics. What is the first commandment? And not only a command, what is the first truth? And I would rather say today, what is the first truth of our life? What is the first truth of who we are and every person is? And Jesus reminds us in that commandment, which he well knew from Deuteronomy, and which he again repeats, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone." If we just stopped there and not continued on, which is many times what we emphasize, you shall love the Lord your God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength. But if we just stopped and absorbed the truth that the Lord our God is Lord alone, and we could ask ourselves this morning and for the rest of this week and the rest of our life, who is Lord of our life? Who have we given permission to be at the center of our lives? What ideology have we espoused that we have given that ideology lordship in our life. And if it is not the God of mercy, if it is not the God of the Shema from Deuteronomy, if it's not this God that Jesus again repeats in this Gospel of Mark today, then we've gone astray. It's nothing material that can take this place. It is no ideology that can take this place. It's no political system that can take this place. The Lord our God is Lord alone. It is not money. It is not power. It's not position. It's not anything else. We have to go back as human persons, as people, to this one truth at the very beginning. The Lord our God is Lord alone. Being able to say that with sincerity and with faith and believing this truth, then we realize that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, meaning that we push out of our hearts those things which try to always move in and take the place of this primacy of God being God in our lives. With our soul, who are we selling our souls to? We don't talk so much today, we should, in terms of the soul, the immortal soul, the soul that will last forever, the soul that will be with God forever, the soul with which we relate to God, the soul that prays and lifts itself up to God, with the whole soul, not just part-time, not just on Sundays, not just on Saturdays, not just whenever we feel like it, but the whole person at the center, called the soul, belongs to this Lord who is Lord of our life. Then to love him with our mind. Again, what have we filled our mind with? What do we read? What do we look at? What do we search on the internet? The pornography that so many are addicted to. All these things that we have given ourselves to with our minds and our eyes and really trashing our life with these things that are so evil today.
Or negative thoughts.
Right. Very negative thoughts about other people, judgments, gossip, mm-hmm. et cetera, all these things. And your strength to do all that we can to put God back first in our life. So I'm saying all these things not to be negative this morning, but to ask ourselves a question again: to whom does our life belong? Who has created me, and whose image do I belong? And this prayer, which is so simple, and it's something that all of us could repeat throughout the day, you, Lord, are my only good. You, Lord, are Lord alone. And leave it there. You are my God. Because if we're not convinced of that, if we're not convinced, then our actions will show that we're not convinced of that. How we live, how we pray, how we, what we read, what we say, et cetera, our whole life will reflect the basic truth of our life. And if it's not, the Lord our God is Lord alone, then we will not be seen as someone who is given over totally to God. And again, the basic action out of which we, by which we express this love of God alone, is that we love our neighbor as ourself. To see that each neighbor is created in the image and likeness of God. And let me say this. About that, you know, that each of us has a mission. All of us have a mission, and that is to bring the love of God to others. So when people say, well, why would you love that person because they've done wrong? Why would you love that person because they've not done enough for themselves? Why would you love that person because they're involved in this? Why does God love them? Why does God love that person? That's the question to ask. Why does God love this person? Because he created them. Because they are in his image. That image has been marred by whatever they have done, but the image is still there. And in a certain way, it's like saying, we want to love the God that has loved them back into existence, into their life, so that they can recognize the love of God. If we don't show it, who will? Certainly God will communicates with all of us, gives us all the graces that we need. But on our part, as believers in this one truth that God is the Lord alone, it's our role, our ministry, our calling to love a person so that they will be able to touch the love of God. Just this week, I was visiting with some people who came to see me about human sex trafficking, and it is just
awful,
horrible. And we should all take note of that and get some information. I was filled with information before I did this recording. It's appalling, but it's because we have lost sense. And I think overall, if we put it into a hermeneutic or a way of reading the situation, it's because we have pushed away God as being Lord alone. So many other things have taken away this position that belongs to God alone, money, prestige, etc., all those things. And it is our responsibility to bring back the primacy of God in our life, God in our world, God as creator, redeemer, believe, person who loves each one of us, bring that back into our society.
Well, and I was thinking as you were saying this, Bishop, and it's like our actions speak louder than our words. And we need to make an effort to notice if our actions and our words aren't necessarily lining up. We need to behave and conduct our lives with the love of God, knowing that He is at the center of our lives.
Sure. And, you know, this is not a false love. This is not a false truth that we have. Many of us can play the game of saying that God is first in our life only to impress people and then do what we want. And that's today's world called grooming. And we have to be sincere with ourselves and with one another that if God is first in our lives, then we need to show it by sacrifice, by living the cross well, and so many other ways that reflect the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives. I invite all of us this week, just on your own, just to continue in a simple message today, the Lord our God is Lord alone. And just embrace that truth this week, to say to yourself, you, God, are my only good. You, Lord, are my God alone. You only, God, and you alone are my Lord. Give him the position he needs, the place he needs in our life, in our world.
Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will discuss the Word of Life for November. We will be right back. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this 31st Sunday in Ordinary Time, and it is the first Sunday of the month. Welcome to November. And we share with you this morning the Word of Life. It is another beautiful reflection. Bishop, if you would share that with us now.
Yes, I'd like to remember the last one for October was, you know, that you belong to the Spirit, and because you belong to the Spirit, you do not belong to the flesh. So really inviting us this past month to really discern inside, to be attentive and listening people to the Holy Spirit within us. And sometimes, in my own experience, things come up where the Spirit kind of urges us to move forward in certain areas, and we maybe get a little intimidated by that. But I think this Word of Life from November then leads us into, if we are to witness to the gospel, if we are to witness to the truth, if we are to witness to Christ, then we're going to have to knock on some doors. We're going to have to request some things and seek out people and seek out the will of God. So it keeps us alive and active. So I enter into this meditation with that all in mind. So the word that we are meditating upon is from the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20. Listen, I am standing at the door, knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to you and eat with you and you with me. We may often hear a knock at the door. It might be someone with a delivery, our neighbor or one of our children's friends. Sometimes it may be a stranger. What do they want? Is it a good idea to open the door and let in someone we do not know? And yet, this word of God, taken from the book of Revelation, invites us to welcome an unexpected guest. This book is very instructive for Christians. The author was John, the apostle. And on this occasion, he was writing to the church of Lacedonia, modern-day Turkey. He wrote in the name of the Lord Jesus, who had died and rose from the dead out of love for every human being. The authoritative guidance John gave derived from his love. He praised the community, corrected them, and asked them to be open to the powerful help that the Lord himself was prepared to give, provided they were ready to recognize his voice and open the door. Listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to you and eat with you and you with me. It's the same today. Now, too, the whole Christian community is asked to overcome fear, division, and a false sense of security, to welcome the coming of Jesus. In fact, he comes to us every day in different guises. These might be our daily sufferings, the difficulties we face in being faithful to the gospel, or challenges concerning important choices we make in life. Above all, he comes to us in the people we meet around us. It is also an invitation to each of us to spend time with Jesus in a personal conversation, as you would with a friend during a quiet evening sitting at table together. That is the best time for a conversation that calls for openness and listening. We need to shut out all external noises if we want to recognize and hear his voice, the Spirit, who can help us break through our fear and open the door of our heart. Kiara Lubick wrote about her own experience on September the 12th, 1949, and I quote, "We must silence everything within us in order to discover the voice of the Spirit. We need to draw it out as if we were extracting a diamond from the mud, polish it, display it, and share it with other people at the right moment, because it is love, and love is meant to be given. It is like fire which burns when in contact with straw and other material. If it does not do this, it dies out. Love must grow in us and overflow." During a general audience on June 6, 2018, Pope Francis said, "The Holy Spirit is a gift. He enters us and makes us fruitful, so that we can then give him to others. The Holy Spirit shifts us from our I in order to open us to the we of the community, receiving in order to give. We are not the center. We are an instrument of that gift for others." Listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to you and eat with you and you with me. By living mutual love, which is characteristic of the gospel, Christians can be witnesses to the presence of God in history. In an area where there are many migrants, someone heard a knock at her door. Delia from Italy shared her story. Quote, "It was a hot Sunday afternoon, and quite a few mothers and children were sitting on the pavement outside my cafe. The children were crying because they were hungry. I invited all of them to come in and said that the children's meal would be free. The mother was embarrassed because they had no money, but I was determined to feed them, and they accepted my offer. That was the start of it all, and now my place has become the migrants' cafe, most of whom were Muslims. Many of them call me Mama Africa. The people who used to be my clients gradually stopped coming, so the room where the older people played board games was now the children's room, where they could draw and play. Some small room became an area where mothers could change their babies and even have a little rest. At other times, it becomes a classroom where Italian lessons are taught. I didn't make a specific choice to change my customer base. I just couldn't ignore these migrants. Thanks to them, I have met many people and organizations that support me and help me keep going. If I were to start over, I would do the same thing again. For me, what matters is to give. All of us are invited to welcome the Lord who knocks at our door, so that together with Him, we can go out towards our neighbor. The Lord's presence in our life will grow stronger.
Again, what a wonderful reflection. And hearing the story of the woman at the restaurant was exactly like you said at the very beginning. The Lord was knocking, but sometimes it can be a little uncomfortable. I mean, she knew what she wanted to do initially, to feed the children, but then it might have been a little uncomfortable doing what was right, even though it was the right thing to do.
Yeah, I think, you know, this is kind of the, from the gospel we hear, you know, knock and you will, the door will be open, seek and you will find, mm-hmm. and ask and it'll be given to you. And it's like, that's our initiative to do all. But this particular sentence from Revelation is like, the Lord is knocking and we have to open the door. We can open the door. And I, as I was reading it, I was just thinking, how many knocks have there been that either I didn't hear or that I ignored or that I was too busy, too distracted to even open the door or to even know what was going on? And I liked the part where she writes that in order to recognize that who's knocking at our door, we have to be quiet. We need that silence, that time of silent reflection. And again, over and over, I remind myself, and I want to remind all of us, we have to give that time to the Lord. Because if He is real, which we know He is, mm-hmm. if He is the truth, we know He is, He will knock. He is knocking. And to be able to acknowledge not just the knock, but who's on the other side of the door, we need that silence to be able to see and recognize the presence of Jesus in that person. In the smallest child, in the oldest grandmother that may need help, but He's always there. And I think it's just that silence, that interior silence that so many of us lack because we're about our own business. And it can be frightful, you know, sometimes to stop and just let the Lord knock at our door and to be vulnerable enough to open the door and see what He wants of us, and to follow through with it as well. So I invite us all, again repeating the sentence, to listen. I'm standing at the door, knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and eat with you and you with me.
That is a beautiful line for us to reflect on, especially on this Sunday before Election Day.
Yes. Just want to remind everybody that it is a privilege in a free country such as ours to vote, and it is also a responsibility. And I think especially in the world that we live in, the society that we live in that's riddled with violence, we've seen just again recently the violence that's there, the trafficking that's there, so many ills and evils that really are distressful. We need to bring ourselves, our moral values, who we are as Christians to the voting booth and to remember that we are Christ's presence in the world and at the voting booth, and to vote for the dignity of life, the dignity of every person, and to vote the best we can with our conscience to bring about a better world, a better society.
And there is a voting guide available at diocesecc.org right there on the main page if you would like to find out more information about that. It is available.
Yes.
Thank you, Bishop, for your words and your insight and your time today, of course, on this first Sunday in November. If you would end now with a prayer and a blessing.
Almighty and merciful God, by whose gift your faithful offer you right and praiseworthy service, grant, we pray, that we may hasten without stumbling to receive the things that you have promised. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.